our first Bible study since we've started all of this pandemic stuff, and we gradually kind of worked into having worship, and we've been doing that all along, but this is our first Sunday morning Bible class since all this stuff started, and it's good to see all of you here. Again, want to encourage you to keep the social distancing and all of that stuff. We want to be safe, but it's good to be getting back together again. And is that Minji Way I see back there? All right. Okay. Stand. Can you stand up there and just pull your mask down just a little bit so people can see your face? This is Minji Way. And Minji Way was baptized, what was the date? Do you remember? Is that okay? Chuck was able to baptize her. He'd been studying with her, and she was baptized into Christ. She's our newest sister in Christ, and it's great to have you with us today. And who are these two young people with you? Okay. Hi, Malia. Hi, Oscar. It's great to have you guys with us. Yes, indeed. Okay, so we're going to attempt to go back to the study that we were doing when all this started, our study on Into All the World, basically focusing on sharing the gospel with folks. Before we begin our study, Holloway, would you lead us in a prayer? Would you like to do that, please?
Heavenly Father, we come to you to thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that has come to where we can all come together to serve you. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those of our number that can't be here. We pray that we'll be at the next point of time due to this coronavirus. We pray, Heavenly Father, that those that all get on the way will be safe. Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for this day. Thank you for all the blessings you throw upon us before each and every day. We pray that you will forgive us our sins and trespasses. This is my prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, just by way, since it's been so long since we've been able to study this, let's just real quickly go back and review what we were talking about. We started in this Into All the World series looking at the vision of Jesus, okay? And does anybody recall really what the overall vision of Jesus had to do with? Anybody recall any of that? Think about Jesus and what he was all about. What was his vision? To save the world. It was to seek and to save the lost. Basically, that's what he came to do. And so we are focusing on having Jesus' vision and his compassion that he had for the lost. And that's what really drove him to do what he did. All right, was the compassion that he had for those who were lost. From there, we began looking at the gift. Lesson two was about the supreme gift, and that is of forgiveness. Okay? In order for someone to be saved, what has to happen? They have to repent, but not just repenting. What else has to take place? They have to be forgiven of their sins. And God has promised that he would do that. If we repent, okay, then he will forgive us of our sins. And so we were talking then about the whole issue of being able to forgive people and help people to find forgiveness in their relationship with God. If you go back to the whole issue, we talked about so many times what happened in the garden. When sin was introduced into the world, man was separated from God. The relationship was separated or severed. and what God's compassion for his creation caused him to do was to offer a way for us to be reconciled or brought back into that relationship with him. And the means by doing that is the blood of Jesus, by which we have the forgiveness of sins. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. And so we were focusing all about that gift that God has given to us to be able to have forgiveness of sins, and for us to be able to forgive one another, to learn to forgive one another, as we also seek forgiveness from God. So, currently we are in the third lesson in this series, and we're talking here mainly about taking the message out into our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, into all of the world. We're looking in Acts chapter 1 primarily, where we have the mission that Jesus gives to his disciples just before he returns to his Father, where he says to them, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." Okay? Now, one of the things that we've been focusing on for the last at least year and a half here is talking about the whole concept of our own personal Jerusalem and Judea, which basically constitutes what? What is our Jerusalem? What does that represent, our Jerusalem and Judea? Okay? Our Jerusalem basically is the people that we personally know, each individual, the people that we know in our lives. It's our family members, it's our neighbors, it's our friends, it's our coworkers, people that we personally know and interact with on a regular basis. They would constitute our Jerusalem. Now, one of the things that we've said about that is that each one of us has a different Jerusalem, okay? So in other words, we don't all know the same people. We know some of the same people, obviously. We all know one another, okay? But then as we venture out from here, there are folks that each of you know that I don't know. There, some of the folks in your Jerusalem aren't in my Jerusalem, but they are in yours, and so forth. So this really is an idea of taking what Jesus says and sharing that with, first of all, those folks that I know. Okay, they're not strangers to me. They're people that I know and I interact with on a regular basis. Then, more recently, we were talking about the idea of our not only Jerusalem, but Judea. And Judea represents what? Anybody recall? People who? Actually, Judea represents, it's a further out, okay? So Judea represents kind of a stretch. It's people that maybe I don't know quite so well, okay? It's people that, you know, maybe I come in contact with them for a very short time in my life, and but they are, at least at that time, they're in my Judea, okay? I may only encounter that person one time, okay? I may encounter them, you know, for a short period of time, and they're into my life, and then they're gone again. But they are in my Judea, right? And so then this has to do with my willingness to reach out and to share the gospel even with those kind of people, which takes us, a lot of us, a little bit more out of our comfort zone, right? You know, okay, it's one thing to talk to family and friends a little bit, but now you're talking about somebody that I don't know very well. That's a little bit more uncomfortable for a lot of folks, to talk about Jesus and to share the gospel with people that I don't really know quite as well. How are they going to respond? How are they going to react? And so forth. But that's really what this, in following what Jesus gave to his disciples, is all about, is going out into the world, again, starting in our Jerusalem and going out into Judea, and eventually, where are we going to go from there? To Samaria and to the ends of the world, right? What does Samaria represent in this scenario? Yeah, exactly. Because the you know, as far as Jews were concerned, Samaritans were what? They were outcasts. They were enemies. We don't want to have anything to do with these people, okay? So share the gospel with these people? Yes. That's why I think Jesus included Samaria in that statement, okay? Because even with some of those folks that we might kind of consider them to be undesirable in one way or another. Okay? And so Jesus challenges us to share the gospel with them. Okay? And then eventually to the ends of the earth, right? That's then with anybody and everybody that we have opportunity with. See? So, as we look at this, and looking at what the disciples were tasked to do, one of the things that we read in our study here is that their mission was very certain. Okay? Jesus was specific about what he wanted them to do, at least where he wanted them to go. Okay? There was nothing really confusing about what he tasked them to do. You will be my, what? Witnesses. Okay, so what does that entail? What does that mean? Tell people, okay? Tell people, all right? So that's the what you are to do, and the other is the who or the where, right? Okay? So take the message, the gospel message, and share it with people. Okay? Let me ask you this question. One of the questions on our study thing here, and this is under the explain it and express it part of this. Why do you suppose the disciples kept on preaching when so many people seem to get so upset? You know, as the disciples are going out and they're sharing the gospel, they're facing a lot of opposition, right? Especially amongst the religious leaders of their day, they're getting beaten, they're put in jail, they're getting threatened. There's all kinds of opposition to them sharing the gospel message, doing what Jesus told them to do. But so let me just hear from you. Why do you suppose they just kept on doing it? Any ideas? Any thoughts? Okay. All right. Okay, all right. So would it be fair to say that the disciples understood the concept of their job was not to make people obey the gospel, but rather to share it with folks? You see, Chuck? Okay. You think they understood that at this point in time? They understood now the gift that they had been given to share with other people. And they were compelled to just go out and tell as many people as they could. All right? Okay. Okay, all right. It's like it's all built up inside and they you know, can't help it. It's kind of like, you know what happens if you take a bottle of Coke and you shake it all up, right? And you take the lid off, what happens? It's just going to go everywhere, right? And that's kind of like where they were, right? It's like, you know, they got shaken up by the Holy Spirit and all this is inside and it's you take the lid off and it's going to go everywhere. And that's really what they were doing. In spite of the opposition and the threats, keep in mind, what they had witnessed concerning Jesus. Now, at first, they were pretty scared, weren't they? But when the Holy Spirit came upon them and everything kind of fell into place, now they can't help but to tell people. Even in the face of that opposition and the threats and so forth. In fact, at one point they told the Sanhedrin, we can't help but to speak in His name. Wes? So, they were excited about the message. Okay, they believed the message. Think about that in terms of, for us today, things that maybe a message doesn't have to necessarily do with Jesus, but a message that you have. Somebody shares something with you, and you're excited about it, right? What do you typically do with that? You want to share it with somebody else, don't you? I mean, you know, especially if it's really good, right? Something really exciting. Isn't it really hard to keep that contained within you? It's like you can't wait for somebody to come home at the end of the day so you can tell them what happened. Right? Wes? Okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah, oh, it's coming. Yeah, I got one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Think about different events that occur in people's lives that we would consider to be good news. Okay? And how excited are we to share that good news? Okay, what kinds of events in life typically are like that? The birth of a child. I mean, you know, hey, we find out we're pregnant, and what? You know, once we reach a certain point, you know, where we feel comfortable that, okay, everything's good, then it's like we got to let everybody know, right? That's good news, and we want people to know we're expecting a baby, and we want to share that with people, right? What else? What other kinds of things? Graduation, okay? And sometimes we look and we go, are you sure you're going to graduate? You know? but yeah, it's a great event. It's a milestone in our lives, and we want to celebrate that. What else? A marriage, a wedding coming up? Hey, guess what? We got engaged, right? And so we want people to know that. We want to share it with people. It's really difficult to keep that kind of stuff in, isn't it? Okay? Why don't we do that when it comes to Jesus?
Why don't we all go back to our Lutherburg?
Okay. Okay.
And I remember Sister Judy saying, you know, if you got a fire burning, you need to keep it burning. You know what? You're naive and you want to tell everybody, you don't do it perfectly. You do upset people, but you've got the right intentions and you're learning how to share the gospel, but you're succeeding. And the world needs you back, and in certain sections of life, you need to grow up.
Right. Exactly. You know, it's oftentimes it's so easy for us to share exciting things that are going on in our lives with other people, people in our Jerusalem. Those things that really don't have a lot to do with Jesus. But when it comes to Jesus, somehow we seem to kind of, not sure. Okay, so here's the next part of this. Why? Why are we oftentimes so intimidated when it comes to sharing the good news of the gospel with the same people that we are not intimidated in sharing it about babies and weddings and, you know, good health reports or whatever else it is, the good things that go on in our lives? Where's the breakdown there? Okay. Right, okay. Right, but generally speaking, they don't. Okay. 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 All right. I think you're exactly right. It's very predictable what the reaction is going to be to most all the other good news that we share in life, isn't it? Generally speaking, when we have good news about all these events we've been talking about, people are happy for us, and we don't get to face a whole lot of rejection from those. But for some reason, when it comes to Jesus, there oftentimes is rejection. Okay, there are a lot of people who don't want to hear it. A lot of people who don't want to accept it. A lot of people who have perhaps had very bad experiences. Maybe they've tried, you know, religion and church and Jesus and all those things, but maybe they had some bad experiences, so they're not interested. They've been turned off by it. And so I think perhaps maybe with us a lot of times there's that unsure of how someone is going to react and respond. How are they going to treat me? Will they not be my friend anymore? Will they reject me? What's going to happen? Okay, Miss Judy? Okay. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. There's... I think you're right, but we've talked about that a lot of different times. What's the best answer to those things, to those kinds of fears that we have? First of all, what do we need to do? If we're afraid we don't know the Bible well enough, what do we need to do? We need to study it, okay? All right? We need to study it, learn it, all right? And the more time you spend doing it, the more you learn it, then you have a... Another thing that we need to be able to do with that can help us tremendously is not be afraid to tell people, I don't know, but I'll find out, okay? So in other words, not feel like we have to know the answer to every question that somebody has, okay? But then I think the easiest thing, and we've mentioned this a lot of different times, but we had a whole bunch of lessons that we talked about this whole idea is... When it comes to telling about Jesus, what's the best and easiest way to do that? Tell them your story. Just tell your story. Then they can't ask a question you don't know. You don't have the answer for that. When you just tell them your story, tell them what Jesus is doing in your life, they can't ask a question you don't know the answer to. So it removes that whole fear and issue and so forth. Okay, Charlotte, you had a comment? Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And not, we need to be able to share that with other people too, and to tell them, look, what I think is, I'm trying to talk with someone, I tell them all the time, what I think isn't important. My opinion is not what matters here. It's what God says. That's what's important. So it works. We gotta focus on that both ways, and letting people know, look, it's not about what I think or what I feel. It's about what God's Word says. You see? Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, just share it with them. Okay. All right. Here's where I want to spend some time on the rest of our time this morning. What was the theme of the disciples' preaching and teaching? What was the theme? Yeah, it really, that's what it is. The theme was Jesus. Okay? The theme was Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Now, why is it important for us to keep that in mind and to do that? Why do we really need to do that? Okay. Right. Okay. When it's about Jesus, then it's not about what? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about all the other stuff going on. It's just about Him. Let's focus on Jesus. Okay? And that's what the disciples did in the early church. They drew people's attention to Jesus, not to themselves. Because they understood that the message and the gospel of salvation was not about them. Okay? Not a one of them died for anybody's sins. And neither have you or I. Okay? So the message cannot be about us. It's got to be about Jesus. You know, I've had a lot of people over the years in preaching, and I used to do this a lot, but a long, long time ago, I got away from it. And I've had people ask me oftentimes, why don't you ever preach sermons like on Mother's Day, preach on about mothers, and on Father's Day about fathers, and all these other different, you know, key holidays and events and so forth. Why don't you focus more on those events? And my response to that is because that's not why we're here. You know, we want to acknowledge the mothers on Mother's Day, and, you know, we want to do that, but that's not why we're here. We're here to focus on Jesus, okay? And you may or may not agree with that, but that's kind of where I've gotten to, and that's what I want to do. I just want to focus on Jesus. Judy? Yeah. Isn't it so easy to get distracted by all the other stuff in the world? And I'm not suggesting that those things are not important, okay? But they cannot be the most important thing in our lives. See? There are a lot of things in life, in everyday life, that we have to take care of, okay? We got to pay attention to and so forth. But we can't let those things distract us from the main thing, okay? If you go over to Colossians chapter 1, okay, turn over there for just a moment. And we've talked about this different times. You know, when you look at the things that Paul writes about Jesus, okay, beginning in verse 15, concerning Jesus, I'll give everybody a chance to get there. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. He says, He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. Now, that's a really significant statement. So how much of what's been created has been created without Him? Nothing, okay? There's that word all again, right? All things, okay? So that leaves nothing out, okay? He is before all things, and in Him, how many things? All things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Okay? Some of your translations say preeminence. Means the same thing. Okay? What does that really mean? Literally, it means first place. Okay? First place. That in all things, He might have first place. So what does that mean? And some of you may remember me telling you this little jingle. What does that bring us to? Anybody recall? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Okay? So what's the main thing? Jesus. And that's something that the disciples remembered. They knew and they remembered. Okay? Even in the face of all the opposition and the persecution and all the other things going on, they kept focused on the main thing, which was Jesus. Now, they took care of other stuff, okay? I mean, we know Paul, for instance, you know, there were things that Paul did in his missionary journeys. He went around and for a while he was making tents, right? That was his profession before he got into preaching, okay? And there was a time when he was doing that right alongside Aquila and Priscilla. He was a tent maker. But was that the main thing that he did? No. The main thing was Jesus. Okay? And that's the thing that you and I today, as we try to share the gospel with people in our Jerusalem, that we've got to remember to stay on the main thing. Okay? The theme is Jesus. And a lot of you guys, especially some of you might remember, you know, I oftentimes will ask people, and I'll say, what's the word? Okay? What's the word? Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the word. And that's what we need to remember, okay? It really is that simple. Jesus is the Word. So So when someone asks you, and usually when people ask that question, what's the word, what are they usually wanting to find out? Somebody say gossip, okay, all right. Yeah, what's going on, or specifically, what's on your mind right now? What are you thinking? Okay, typically when someone says, what's the word? What are you thinking of right now? What's happening? So if you think about it that way and understand it that way, shouldn't Jesus be what's on our mind most of the time, you see? And so when someone says, what's the word? My response is, Jesus. He's the word. As the Bible in John chapter 1 declares, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Okay? So here's another question for you to think about. Keeping in mind what we've talked about, the theme here, I just want you to think in terms of what is typical for you. In our religious discussions, what do we usually talk about? I'm sorry? Okay. Denise? It doesn't matter. Okay. Okay. Right. Right. Take care of one another. Okay. Well, exactly. And that's part of my point is that, you know, when we get into discussions with people about religion and so forth, typically, what do those discussions usually entail? I mean, in my golf league, most of the guys in my golf league, they know I'm a minister, and so there's always these, you know, comments or questions or whatever that you know, guys want to have about it. But usually what it entails is, number one, church. Okay? What's the church are you preaching at again? They want to know about the church. Okay? The other major thing that people want to talk about when it comes to religion is what they do or do not believe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Well, I believe that so-and-so and so-and-so. I hear that all the time with people. You say, do what now? Oh, yeah. So those are the things typically when we talk about, you know, get into religious discussions, isn't that usually the way they go?
You know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I tell people all the time, you heard me say, we're not organized, so you'd fit right in well with us, okay? But it's usually those kinds of things. It's we're going to talk about churches and what's the difference between your church and my church, and we're going to talk about what we believe. I believe this, you believe that, or what do you believe about this, and, you know, all of those kinds of things. Which is, you know, fine, we're going to need eventually to answer some of those questions, But how often do we even hear people ask about Jesus? And how often in our responses do we just try to turn the focus on Jesus? You see? And I wonder if sometimes, you know, maybe Judy, as you brought up earlier, you know, we're afraid somebody's going to ask us something we don't know the answer to, whatever, because what are we thinking at the same time? They're going to ask me something about the church I don't know the answer to. Why does your church do this? I don't know. You know? Or why do y'all believe this? Well, I don't know. Well, again, let's focus on Jesus, okay? Let's focus on Him. Maybe we should what?
We should ask why.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, nothing wrong with it at all.
Especially if a young preacher, and to find out why, and make sure it's not just a tradition.
Exactly.
And that it isn't actually something that we have in the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, does the Bible describe that we have to respond to prayer and the Bible? No, that's just the way we do it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Exactly. You allowed to do that? But you see, yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well.
Well, again, and we run into all those kinds of things that people get kind of tied up on and trip over, and again, why? It's because they're not focusing on Jesus; they're focusing on themselves and what they want and what they've always believed and what they think and what we've always done and so forth. Well, let's just get back to Jesus. Okay, Judy? And I think because, again, as we've said, a lot of people are focused on religion and church and how we do this and how we do that and what we believe and what we don't believe and those things, which, again, I'm not saying we don't have to have those discussions, but that should not be our focus. You see, our focus should be sharing Jesus with people. Okay? Charlotte? Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. And that's basically what I do with a lot of folks that I share, have opportunity to talk with. You know, I try to establish right from the beginning, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about who Jesus is. Okay? Because if we can't agree on who Jesus is, as far as I'm concerned, we don't have nothing else to talk about. Okay? So, because there are so many different ideas and beliefs out there about who Jesus is, okay, we need to understand that. Okay? And who is Jesus? And let's get that straight. And if we can agree on that, then we can build from there. If we can't agree on that, then, you know, it's time for me to shake the dust off my feet and move on. All right? James, finish us up here.
Yeah, I always like to say, well,
Okay.
And the argument is to
right. Exactly. Right. Absolutely. But we need to keep the theme about Jesus. Okay? We got to focus on Him. It's all about Jesus. When we're doing that, then that takes us out of the way. We've got to learn that it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about Jesus. Because I think one of the things that that really does is when we realize it's not about us, then what somebody thinks about me or how they're going to react or respond, whether they're going to like me or not like me or get upset with me, none of that really matters when it's all about Jesus. But all of that matters when it's about me. You see? So we need to keep focused and keep the theme on Jesus. All right? Okay, thank you all very much. We're going to stop here and get ready for worship. And we'll proceed next week from here.